report by Srila Prabhupada. As long as a living entity wants to fulfill various types of material desire, he must continuously change from one body to accept another. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that as a small piece of grass falls in a river and is tossed about with different types of wood and tree branches, the living entity floats in the ocean of material existence and is dashed and tossed amidst material conditions. This is called the struggle for existence. One kind of fruitive activity causes the living being to take one form of body. And because of actions performed in that body, another body is created. One must therefore stop these material activities, and the chance to do so is given in the human form of life. Specifically, our energy to act should be engaged in the service of the Lord, for then materialistic activities will automatically stop. One must fulfill one's desires by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord, for he knows how to fulfill them. Even though one may have material desires, one should therefore engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That will purify one's struggle for existence. Akama sarva karma va moksha karma rudaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajate purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam 2:3:10. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktirutama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain. Through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. This is called pure devotional service. Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Om Gyanati Miranda Suyaganam Julan Shlakaya Chakshul Mitam Jena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha Mukum Karoti Vacharam Pangam Langaya Tegrim Yakripa Tarham Vandai Shi Garam Dinitaniram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrstaya Bhutadaya Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pichani Re Nira Vistesha Shunya Varipasta Chaya Dishitani Re Vanchakalpatarubhyus Chakrapasindhu Baya Vachapurizanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shiva Sadi, Guru Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So I'll try an attempt to share my meager realizations on this topic. Here we have the title is The Behavior of a Perfect Person, and basically this is a narration, a story of Prahlad Maharaj, who is on some sort of parikram going around the universe with some of his close associates, sort of universal parikram. And their whole purpose for this is to try and find out saintly people, saintly individuals, and find out what are their symptoms, characteristics, what they're like. And they come across, in a range of mountains, one individual, a person who is a Jagara Vritti, as it's known. It means the vow of the python. He's a python man. That's not a python, he's a man. And he's kind of lying there in the mountain, not really doing anything. And Prahlad Maharaj and his associates, immediately by the dint of his spiritual knowledge and his transcendental vision and wisdom and realization that comes from realizing this type of knowledge, he could immediately recognize this person as a saint. I mean, generally, if you know you're in India and there's beggars and people on the floor and you walk past them, there's this quite large round person, you think, well, you'd have to be skeptical, right? You know, because mostly they're impoverished. So this isn't one who's very well fed, and you think, well, hang on. But Prahlad Maharaj recognized this person as a great saint, a great sadhu. And of course, the vice versa is true, that this person, upon seeing Prahlad Maharaj, also recognized Prahlad as being a great saint. So then Prahlad Maharaj paid his obeisances to his lotus feet, touched his head to his feet, offered him some worship, little puja, and began to question him. What's he doing here? Why does he look so stout? What are your activities? And the python man, this sadhu, begins to answer. And here then is the beginning of the python man's replies or discussion. And he's saying that because, well, basically what he's doing, he basically begins to explain the nature of self-realization, the nature of the material world and the soul's journey through the material tabernacle. And he's saying here that because of insatiable material desires, I was being carried away on the waves of material nature's laws. Insatiable has two meanings. Insatiable means something that can never be satisfied. Insatiable. It means it doesn't matter how often you do it or how much you do it or how good you do it. That activity, if it's insatiable, will never satisfy an individual. It also means someone who's very greedy, someone who's insatiable, means that they're never satisfied either anyway. They're very greedy. So, the Python Man talks about how he's been trying to enjoy various varieties of material existence. And the point is, as he was making, is that if one wants to enjoy the variety, then one has to experience the misery. The whole idea, why we're beset by material problems and miseries, is because we're simply trying to enjoy different varieties. So the more you increase the variety, or try to experience the material variety, according to the great saints here in the Bhagavatam, then the more you have to experience the misery. And of course, these different varieties are nothing more really than a different collection or myriad of excuses to forget Krishna. That's the material world. It's basically a collection of excuses on how to forget Lord Krishna. So these, of course, it is said actually, because we all know that the goal of life for the materialist and the transcendentalist is to find true, eternal, lasting happiness. But in connection to the material world, Krishna doesn't say Sukhalaya Asashvatam, does he? He says this is Dukhalaya Asashvatam. He said in that place, you're only going to find the Dukh. So, there's different types of happiness that for the living entity is described. Well, three types in general. One is, of course, the materialistic happiness. The other one is the happiness of liberation, which is more or less relief from the material harassment. And then, of course, there's the happiness of the soul, which is derived through knowledge and offering service, knowledge of the Lord. And offering service to the Lord. Of course, the whole material program is completely opposite to the spiritual program. It's being clearly mentioned in the Bhagavatam here that we experience different types of misery because of trying to engage and enjoy the variety. And that's the material program of life, is just to get out there and experience and engage in as much varieties of material engagements and enjoyments if possible, which is pretty much opposite to the spiritual program. I remember many, many years ago, of course, it may come as a surprise to some of you, I used to do a lot of bodybuilding. Now I'm just fat. And you know, in this activity, we used to engage in this activity, we also used to help people engage in this activity, and anyone who comes to the gym, to such a place, would obviously come to be healthy, come to get fit. And the two prime purposes of this would be, one, to lose fat from one's body, which is recommended here as well, and the other one would obviously to be build muscle. But what many people didn't understand, the biggest mistake that people used to make, was trying to achieve both at the same time. Isn't it? Because by doing both at the same time, attempting both at the same time, one can never really achieve much success in either. Some result will happen. But to achieve ultimate success in one or the other, you have to do them separately. Why? Because building the muscle and losing the fat are two completely different objectives. This is the mistake everyone used to make. So it's the same with us. That, though, might be a slightly crude example. Trying to achieve material happiness and spiritual happiness at the same time, but also to completely very different objectives. The whole lesson here actually is that, or one of the prime lessons to be learned in this narration here, is that material life can never make one ultimately happy. As Srila Prabhupada said, there's not much point in arguing that a materialistic creature, Prabhupada uses the word creature, can be happy. In other words, there's no point in arguing. It's not even a discussion. I'm not even going to bother debating it with you, because it's just not worth it. It's like the Python man. He understands this, so he's given up all material activities, right? He just thinks, oh, forget it. I'm just going to lie on the floor. Got to the point where he's just thinking, forget it, I'm not going to engage in any type of material activity whatsoever. Therefore, he's the perfect person, isn't he? Because very interesting here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said that these material activities that cause us anxiety, or because it's the material activities that cause us anxiety, they have to be given up. And the human form of life is an opportunity to give up material activities. Or the purpose of human life is to give up material activity. Of course, we often hear that the material, you know, we learn, we study, we teach that the human form of life is naturally there to understand the soul, our relationship with God, self-realization and so forth. But we never actually hear that, or not very often hear it presented, that the actual purpose of human life is actually to give up material activities, not to increase them. And these material, what should we say, these material anxieties are, we know that they're janma mrityu, jara vyadi, adibhautik, adidevik, adiatmik, birth, disease, old age and death, trouble that comes from the body and mind, trouble that comes from natural disturbances from other people. It's very interesting in the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually, in the fifth canto, this is being described in the forest of material enjoyment. And there's one verse that describes these miseries. And it's mentioned, and Srila Prabhupada talks about how there always has to be one of these miseries present in your life. At any given time, at any point, there has to be one of these miseries attached to your existence. That's kind of the rules around the material world. Of course, one is bad enough. You know, just one of these miseries, you know, birth, disease, old age and death, adiatmic, adibhautik, adidevik. Just one of them is enough to put an individual in complete distress, anxiety, and also a few people around them at the same time. So what to speak if you've got a whole combination of them, right? The more you increase, try to experience and explore the varieties of material enjoyment, the more you keep piling on these miseries and the combination thereof. So this is, just like, for example, I had a very morbid thought. Like sometimes we have the very regrettable, unfortunate phenomenon of stillbirth. It more or less means that somebody's literally being born and dying at the same time. Right? I mean, that's a pretty lethal combination, right? The material nature does not show much mercy in this regard. That's the rules. There always has to be one of these miseries attached to you. This is why we see in the material world, isn't it? And people ask the question, isn't it, why am I suffering? Why do even devotees and go through tribulations and trials and sufferings? And the point is, as long as you're here, then you have to experience it. I was listening to a lecture tape by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was very clearly mentioning that although these activities we're doing, Krishna consciousness, the activities connected to the Krishna consciousness movements are all spiritual in nature, because you're doing them here, because you're doing them in the material world, then there's always going to be problem. Because that's the way it is. There's always going to have to be one of these miseries connected to your life at some point. It's quite funny. I was just thinking that there's one history of the British fighting in Africa, in South Africa, against the Zulus and stuff. And obviously the British are in this encampment and they're completely outnumbered, thousands or thousands of these Zulu warriors, and they're surrounding the camp and they're attacking the British, and there's spears and axes and arms and bits of people and bullet shots everywhere and blood. It's a really savage battle. And in this British encampment, they have one priest, they have one vicar. And he's kind of in a bunker type thing, in a little room at the way. And what they've done is the sergeant, the British sergeant, who's a very burly, broad-chested Englishman with a big curly moustache, booming voice, he leaves this junior soldier, this private, in charge of this priest. So in the midst of this very ferocious battle, he goes in to see how the private's doing, if the priest is still alive. And this private's freaking out. He's panicking and he's so frightened. And he's saying, "Sarge, Sarge, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. Why us, Sarge? Why us?" So the sergeant turns around in a very nonchalant, typical British way and says, "Why, son?" "Well, because we're here, aren't we?" It's a bit British, I apologize. "Why do we have to die?" Because we're the ones who are here, isn't it? So this is the material world, isn't it? Why do I have problems with this? Why do I have problems with that? Why do I have problems with the government, with the management, with the wife? Why do I have problems with my husband? Why do I have problems with the kids? Why do I have problems with the garden? Why do I have problems with the insurance company? Why do I have problems with anything? Well, the real answer is because we are here, aren't we? You see? Because we're here. That's the point. It's like it's kind of like standing in the rain and moaning about getting wet, isn't it? Why am I getting wet? Well, because you're standing in the rain. So the material world, we know, we ask, why is there so much suffering? The simple fact is because we're here. So the whole purpose of human life is an opportunity to give up material activities and engage in service to the Lord, and therefore the Python man, he is the perfect person. He is the perfect person because he's fully understood what it's about, what he's about, and he's just giving it all up. He's thinking, "I sit there, it's over. Let's meditate on the Lord." So, this may be, of course, this is not easy. Let's just be honest, it ain't always easy to just give up material desires and lie in a mountain somewhere and hope that someone will come along and give us prasad. It's probably not the best program if you were growing up in England. Nice, but... So then how to get out? This is important to know. How to actually... there's one verse. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Danavrata tapo homa. Japa sadhyaya samayamai. Anyirbhir vividais chanyai. Krishna bhakti hisujyate. That the way to get out of this material nature is through dana, through svadaya, through japa, and through vrata. One can counteract these material miseries by the what's mentioned in the scriptures, a process of jnana bala kriya. Jnana bala kriya means knowledge, strength, and activity. It is said that if anyone wants to become successful in any endeavor, then one should follow this formula. Jnana, we have to have the knowledge. We have to know. We have to get the philosophy right. You know, if we understand an apple a day keeps the doctor away, and we change it to, no, a pizza a day keeps the doctor, I mean, that would be very nice. But we have to understand. That's why Srila Prabhupada said he hasn't simply come here just to start some book business. All these study of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly these books under the guidance of the Bhaktivedanta purports, are actually essential to spiritual progress. Japa and Svadaya, in fact, without these two activities, you don't really have a spiritual life, actually. Prabhupada said that although there are 9 different processes of devotional service in Kali Yuga, specifically this day and age, without receiving and chanting, none of the others will actually become effective. So it's absolutely imperative. that one has to have the knowledge. And of course, from the knowledge one gains strength, isn't it? One becomes strong by acquiring this knowledge. And then one becomes strong in one's faith, one's knowledge, one's determination. Then one can engage in activity. And by engaging in that activity, then one learns more, becomes more stronger, becomes more learned. And in this way we increase the jnana balakriya, the knowledge, the strength and the activities of dana vrata, japa and svadaya. Vrata, of course, means that it means taking vows which will promote one's spiritual progress and not one's false ego. One should be very careful. Just like we have the narration of Durvasa Muni, who was very famous for making these types of vratas. But when he was with Ambarish Maharaj, by his mystic powers, you could see that Maharaj was taking the water from a distance. By his mystic vision, his mystic power, he knew what people were doing at a distance and became very angry. Unnecessarily, because what Maharaj did was not contrary to the principles, actually. But he was able to see through some sort of distant mystic vision what Maharaj was doing, Ambarish Maharaj. But one thing he didn't see was his false ego. And this got him into a lot of trouble. So vratas are meant to promote one's spiritual existence, not one's ego, should we say. And dan, of course, means giving in charity. Particularly offerings that will support and promote the nature and activities of Krishna consciousness. And also, of course, in the nectar of instruction, it's mentioned that the greatest charity we can actually give a person is to give them the holy name. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the greatest charity, the greatest offering to anyone is to offer them the holy name of Lord Krishna. In that connection, just like it's been mentioned here, that it's said that Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshmanam Jai Shishi Gauritai Ki Jai. That in whatever, even if one is full of unlimited material desires, which is obviously going to be the case if you're here, because not too many people come to the material world to be Krishna conscious, right? It's usually the opposite way around. Because if we're going to wait to become free from material desires before we engage in devotional service, then for most of us, we're going to be waiting for an extremely long period of time, right? I mean, how can you do one without the other? Of course, you can always have the the happiness of impersonal liberation. But that's not going to last for long. Because there's nothing much to do there. There's nothing much to do. So Srila Prabhupada, he echoes this many times in a statement where he says, whatever condition of life you may find yourself in, you should always chant the holy name of the Lord. In whatever condition of life. You know, sometimes people have this weird conception, isn't it? That you kind of have to become pure first before you can do anything. That's not really how it is. You know, you have to become pure before you come to the temple. You have to be pure before you can do the puja. You have to become pure before you do the chanting. You have to become pure to read the book. If that was the case, none of us would be doing anything. Right? Speak for myself. No. Srila Prabhupada said, whatever condition of life you may find yourself in, it doesn't matter. Regardless, you should always chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he said, by far, this is the most important rule. In fact, the religion for Kali Yuga is reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Shiva says this in the Bhagavatam itself, that in Kali Yuga, the real religion, the real spiritual activity is chanting Hare Krishna and reading Bhagavatam. We always have to remember, actually, that the actual yajna is Sankirtan, is Harinam, actually. The actual yajna is actually the chanting. I can't remember for the life of me the actual verse itself. I keep meaning to research it. But in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's one verse which describes the power of the holy name in Sankirtan. And Shivaram Swami was giving class, he quoted this verse actually. And from it, it was deduced that, I can't remember, don't ask me for the maths, but he figured out that if we are chanting 16 rounds every day, if we go on Harinam just 8 hours a year, that will double the potency of one's chanting. The actual yajna is actually Sankirtan, is actually the chanting, specifically the congregational going out on Harinam. Just 8 hours a year. Of course, my Guru Maharaj told me when he joined, they used to go out 8 hours a day with Prabhupada. So you can imagine. And then they were doing the books, so they were just every day, 8 hours on Harinam. Prabhupada sometimes used to go, just imagine. And then come back and simply eat prasad and study the books. They had to study the books because that's the only service that there was. Getting the books together, getting the flyers together, getting the BTG together. Right? They were constantly chanting. And so this is our program. For us, of course, we may not be able to become the perfect person by simply becoming the Python person. But with enough strong desire, with enough jnana balakriya in the Sankirtan movement, in the Sankirtan process, we can certainly put an end to these materialistic activities by devotional service, by being active in these activities. And that is the program for human life. But of course, our problem is we have to want to give up the material activities, which is sometimes tough. As Srila Prabhupada would say, you cannot light a fire by necessarily pouring water on it at the same time. As we mentioned, material and spiritual progress are two completely different things, isn't it? And we have to understand, the sooner we can cross that bridge, the sooner we can cross that bridge, the better it will be, the bridge from trying to want to make spiritual progress and maintain varieties of material activities at the same time. Isn't it even in the conclusion to the Bhagavad Gita? What does the Lord say? Sarva Dharma Pricchatya. Isn't it? Give up all the different varieties. Because people forget the real Dharma and the real Sanatana Dharma and materialistic society, even those who are pious, is usually based on creating some ridiculous bogus Dharma based on the material body. which uses the idea of duty as an excuse or a replacement to the real Dharma of devotional service to engage in these material activities.